Well, let's say a prayer for the sermon this morning. If you don't mind, just bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we're thankful for this day where we're going to recognize and celebrate our fathers and fatherhood and the whole concept, Lord, that we know that you designed. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us again in a special way, especially, Lord, as we see our fathers through the filter that you created of yourself, through the image, Father, that we see in you. And we thank you for the good that we see in them. We just pray, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us and protect us, we pray, and make every provision in our hearts and minds and souls. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I did want to say happy Father's Day to my dad, Horacio, a nickname is HC, and I'm sure at some point during the day or the week he's going to be watching this sermon since it's going up on Facebook. So, hey, thanks, Dad, for everything you've done. Some famous quotes about fatherhood, if you don't mind. Dad is a son's first hero, a daughter's first love. The author of that is unknown. Another quote, a father doesn't tell you that he loves you, he shows you. That was written by Dimitri Stoneheart. Fathers just have a way of putting everything together. Another quote, I really like that one. Your dad was good with their hands, they usually are, and usually they're out in the garage in their workshop or something. Seemed like they always knew how to fix things, don't you think? Another quote here is, a father is someone you look up to no matter how tall you grow. So I could say that for Sammy because he's taller than me now, but he doesn't look down on me. You guys understand that? I really like this one by a guy named John Green. It says, The nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you're unqualified to do, and then you become qualified while doing it. Isn't that so true? I've never known that they're like dad classes, you know, how to be a good dad. It's just kind of like learning on the job, and that is true. I found this little essay, if you want to call it that. It's called My Father. I want to read it to you guys. So it says, when I was age 4, I thought my daddy can be everything. 5-year-old, I thought my dad knows a lot. 6-year-old, I thought my dad is smarter than your dad. At 8, I thought, my dad doesn't exactly know everything. At age 10, I thought, I guess people do things differently than my dad. 12-year-old, thought, of course, dad doesn't know about that. He's too old to remember his childhood. At 14 years old, I was thinking, don't listen to the old man. He's old-fashioned. Then we reached 21, and I thought, he continues to be old-fashioned. 25-year-old, dad knows about that. Of course he knows it, because of his age. And then at 30 years old, I was thinking, maybe we should ask what dad thinks. You know, he has a lot of experience. 35 years old, I thought, I'm not going to do anything until I talk to dad. And then at 40 years old, we thought, and I wonder how dad would have done it. He was so wise. At 50 years old, I would do anything to talk to dad about this. What a pity I didn't appreciate how wise he was. He could have learned a lot, or I could have learned a lot from him. Isn't it weird how lifespan and the life cycle, we could have different perspectives about the same person. Right? And so I think at the end we realize and we look back and say, thank God for our fathers. You see, God gifted fathers with children. I mentioned a moment ago the greatest blessing in my life was when I became a father. But the inverse is true also, that children are also gifted to have fathers. Amen. The family unit is a grace. And let me say that again. There is grace in the fact that there's a family unit. And it's something that God established as a foundation of a healthy society. It's His design. The family is the base, the foundation of a healthy society. And research, and especially in my field as a behavioral scientist, sorry, I'm not an animal scientist, but I bet you it's true in the animal world too. It's logical to say that as the family thrives, so does society. And it's logical that then the opposite is also true, that as the family deteriorates, so does society. Fathers matter. Let me put it to you that way. All the research indicates that. And I know, unfortunately, we live in a time when there's a lot of single moms, so I give you all of my respect and honor if that's how you got to do it. And God give you the grace to have to cover for two people. Amen? And we know that He can give us that grace. However, when the bonds of the family break up, when respect for parents fails, the community becomes decadent and will not survive long. And that's from a person called Francis Foulkes. The deterioration of the family is the deterioration of society. There are problems in society because God didn't design it other to be a dynamic nuclear family. That's how He designed it. Are there other kinds of families? Of course. Of course there are. But today I think what we're going to learn is, at least from the angle of fatherhood, we're going to see and hopefully appreciate God's design, and hopefully see that having been made in the image of God, fathers have something to contribute to the betterment of our lives and blessing of our lives. Ephesians 6, 2 says the following, and I think I have the verse up on the screen. And I want to kind of focus today only on the fathers, although the verse also includes mothers, but I've excluded it for today only. Just same way that I excluded the fathers on Mother's Day, if you remember. It says, children are to obey your parents and to honor your father. Think about that. Honor your father. And then the verse goes on to say, this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it would go well with you and that you would live long in the land. It's not up there, but just to emphasize and to stress the reason why honoring your father is important is because it's a commandment, and it's the first of commandments. I've taught before here at this church, first things first. There are some things that have priority in God's kingdom. One of them is to honor your father. What does it mean to honor your father? The word comes from a Greek, which means to esteem them or to value them as precious. To esteem them. So, God has given parents to children so that they are to obey them, and this is for their well-being. That's what the verse is indicating. That's why the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians to honor them. So we want to do that today. We want to celebrate fatherhood, and that's what we should do on Father's Day. Amen. Anybody in agreement with me? Celebrate fatherhood. We'll get into a little bit more on that in a second, but I did want to get to our focus verse. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, these are the words of Jesus. And for I figure that if these are the words of Jesus, maybe we would give them some of our attention. So it says, of which one of you, now Jesus is talking to fathers primarily here, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Well, that doesn't make any sense, you know. Jesus is trying to reason, you know. And there isn't anything wrong with us as Christians reasoning. We're supposed to use our minds, our brains, our intellect, which is also a gift, to reason these things through. Something I think we do a lot less these days of, especially when it comes to talking about families and how important they are. So which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, again referring to fathers, who are evil, and I've always kind of was bothered by that, but it was Jesus that said it. He simply is saying, you fathers who were born in a sinful nature, right? We were born in the condition of sinfulness, evil. But nonetheless, fathers, being evil, you know, notice this, how to give good gifts to your children. Of course, even though we're born in a sinful condition, then here's the key for me. It's always attracted my attention from the very beginning of my ministry and my reading the Bible. How much more? How much more what? How much more will your Father who is in heaven, or how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Now, He's not under the same curse, is He? Our Heavenly Father. He's not under the condition of a sinful condition or a fallen state. He's in heaven. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's good. He's loving. Right? From His throne flows grace. How much more will God give to His children good things? Notice it says that. Good things, which means He's a good Father. I think it's safe to arrived to that conclusion, right? He gives good things. He's a good Father. And yet, at the same time, Jesus is acknowledging that us earthly fathers, who are not perfect because we were born under the fall and sin, we are still willing and attempting to give good things to our children. Amen? Do we understand that? So this verse reveals something special to us about our Heavenly Father. And I preface all this under the concept that we were created as fathers in His image, yet we're fractured because of the fall. But however, in spite of the fracture, in spite of the fact that we're on the mend, He's healing us through His redemptive work at Calvary's cross, it reveals to us something about our Heavenly Father. And whatever I can find in my Heavenly Father, I can also filter down to my earthly father that those attributes and traits also exist at another level, of course, but I can enjoy them and be blessed by them. So are you guys with me? That's my argument based on these passages. What we do learn from this verse, if we were to just take the whole verse and summarize it, and I could give it to you as an assignment as a teacher. Hey, I want you to summarize in three words what this is saying. I'm going to tell you what it is. God, our Father, is a giver. That's what this verse tells us. Or I could say, God, our Heavenly Father, is a provider. That's what this is telling us. So, our Heavenly Father is a giver, not a taker, and a provider, not someone that neglects. Not a neglecter, provider, not a taker, a giver. And I can just shut the sermon today right now and just move on and we're good. You learned from this introduction really all that there is to say, but hopefully I'll be able to develop a little more, and we'll see some more here. So everything related to God's giving, this verse tells us it's adequate, it's enough, it's complete, it's beneficial. Whatever we see God give us is always much more. Look at the verse there. How much more? It's always much more. God is always much more in every way. But that doesn't demise or diminish the fact that our earthly fathers can have some of those traits, some of them more consistently and others not so much. Right? Every dad's different. Amen? So these verses, or that verse on the screen, communicates to us about a relationship between a father and his children. That's what this verse also tells us, doesn't it? There is a relationship. I cannot stress enough from this pulpit, whether it be this Sunday or any other Sunday in the past, that we are in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not about rules and regulations and do this and don't do that and cold, gotta follow what I say kind of relationship. No, the relationship that we learn from our Heavenly Father is one in which He is a giver and one in which He is a provider, and it's one in which we learn of His graciousness. It's a relationship of grace where we have favor with Him, where He loves us, where He is such a good Father that when necessary, He disciplines us because He would rather give us the path to follow and where we'll least suffer and most likely succeed. That's why our Father speaks up. He cares, He loves Him. To whom the Lord disciplines, the Lord loves. We learn that from Hebrews. If a father doesn't discipline his wayward son, the proverb says they hate their son and their children, because they're doing nothing to help them in a phase or stage of their life where they're pliable and moldable. You know, the further along you go from zero, that is, being born, as you move further along, you're less likely to change. The years for educating and informing and disciplining are the younger years. So, what we see here then, I think this verse communicates to us, tells us without a doubt that this is a relationship that exists between our Heavenly Father and us as His children. Isn't that awesome on this Father's Day to know that that's what He wants? He wants a relationship. He's our Father. So what does this verse tell us that we can do, given that He's a provider, given that it's showing to us that He's a giver? What does it give us the right to do? What's it telling us we can freely do? Keep asking. Keep asking. It's the most natural and healthy thing a son or a daughter can do with their father. Asking. Hey, Dad, you got any money? I want to go to In-N-Out. You know? Here's the posture of a father right here. Is that enough? This is exactly the posture of a father, a provider, a giver. This is not my wallet. This wallet belongs to my children and to my home. I go to work for them so that they can have their needs met. That's the image that Jesus has given us of his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. So, you have every right as a child of God to ask Him for whatever you need in whatever area you need it. Amen? If you need healing, you can ask for healing. If you need a job, you can ask for provision in that sense. If you need peace or joy in your heart, you can ask Him. If you have something that's bothering you or something that you're afraid of or something that you fear, you can ask Him to tend to your need in that area. That's who we serve. That's the God of this Bible. I don't know where other people find other things that they claim that God is, but my Bible and Jesus in revealing His Father to us, and we might ask this very question, which would be a good question, is how does He know what God the Father is? Because He spent all eternity with Him before His incarnation. I mean, how would you know anything about my kitchen and what's in the cupboards unless you come and ask me about my kitchen and my house and what's in the cupboards? I have to reveal it to you. We will never learn anything about God except through His own very Son, Jesus. Jesus has an inside look. And it is the desire of the Father to communicate to us who He is so that we can know Him. And to know Him is what blesses us. And what we've discovered, again, and it might sound repetitive, but that's okay because repetition is a good concept in pedagogy, which is the science of teaching, to repeat and to repeat. And some might say, well, you're like a little extra pastor, but I can't say it enough. God is good, God is a giver, and God is a provider. Our Heavenly Father, that's who He is. Amen? So, it's the most natural thing and the most healthy thing a father can do for his children is to give. And for the children, the most healthy thing and natural thing that they can do is ask. Get it? It's a two-way road. Thus establishing what? A relationship. That's the relationship he wants us to understand. You can go to God about and tell him anything. If you're tempted by sin, you can say, hey, Father, this is a tough one, man. I feel drawn and attracted to something that I know, as we've been going through the story of Joseph, I know is not pleasing to you. And right now, about this time, I need help. You know, you can go to him about something as important as, let's say, for instance, we celebrated yesterday in our little anniversaries event here, graduations. You can go to your Heavenly Father and say, as all of the young people that I interviewed that graduated, hey, that God would guide, that God would help me to find success, that God would open doors and make provision. You can do that right now where you're sitting in your heart listening to this message. You don't have to wait. Who waits? You know, they say that one of the most incredible pictures when John, which was John F. Kennedy's youngest son, would go into the Oval Office, and he could just walk in and run in and literally jump on his father's lap anytime he wanted to, even though there were foreign dignitaries and leaders there meeting with him. Because as a son, you have a right to be in the presence of your father, and you have a right to jump into his lap and ask of him whatever it is you need. And your father, if he's a good father, like our Heavenly Father is, will meet that need for you. That's who he is. Isn't that awesome? The only one that has access to me anywhere is Sam. Well, you know, knock the door sometimes. But do you get it? As children, we have access to our fathers. That's our right. And our fathers, if they're good fathers, will receive us and hear and listen to us and do the best they can to provide the and make provision for us. That's what this verse is telling us. It's an amazing verse, right? So what happens? What are the benefits of this kind of relationship that we're reading about that our Heavenly Father provides us? Well, the development of channels of communication, something that's very important for relationships, whether it be that between a father and a son, whether it be that between a wife and a husband, or whether it be that between a colleagues at work, communication is so important. If you don't feel confident about it, I can tell you that that relationship, or whatever that relationship is tied to, work or family, if communication is lacking, there your relationship and your family or your workplace will also suffer. You've got to be able to go confidently and speak in a good relationship. And we also need to listen in a good relationship to the person who's talking to us, whether it be a relationship between a father and son, whether it be a relationship in a marriage, whether it be a relationship in a friendship, or whether it be a collaborating work with colleagues. Amen? Communication. So what is established and what I see here that Jesus is telling us is that one of the benefits to this relationship we have with him as his child is that there are channels of communication. There are access. We have access. You know, there's a wonderful verse in the New Testament. I believe it's in one of Peter's epistles. He says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." He will never reject us because we're his children. I like that, thinking about that in a Father's Day message. The other benefit or blessing that I see in this father-child relationship is the cultivation of confidence. Confidence allows you to be able to approach somebody knowing that that person is going to receive you instead of reject you, or that person is going to respect what you have to say instead of disrespecting you, right? Or which we don't like, because many times as we're disrespected or ignored, right? As many times as we don't receive what we're looking for, we tend to what? Instead of getting closer, what do we tend to do? We build walls and we grow distant. It's natural. I don't want to hang out with someone that's not going to treat me right. Forget that business. You know, I want to be with someone, and a relationship that's healthy is based on that development of open channels of communication. Hey, people, if we want to have good relationship, we got to learn to listen, and we got to learn to be able to go confidently to that person. And you know what all that creates? And the same thing what we see here, it creates intimacy. And that's what the Father wants most with us, our Heavenly Father. He wants intimacy. So, I guess it's not too hard to arrive to a couple points here that this verse, this thing that Jesus says, I'm pointing up to the screen because I can see it from this angle, is that this relationship we have with God our Father, he connects fatherhood with the idea of asking and giving. That's how it works. Right? That's the character of a good father. And we also learned that our earthly fathers are made in, and we've talked about that, in the image of our Heavenly Father. So, here's really my central premise or argument. Whatever good, and I want you to think of your fathers, but then I got another explanation too for you. Unfortunately, there I know and I'm aware that sometimes there are those of us that may not ever have had, or our relationship with our father wasn't very positive. I get that. So I'm gonna deal with that too. But here's my central idea today from this verse. Whatever good we find in our earthly fathers, think about that. Whatever good you find in your earthly father, you can come up with two or three things in your head. Maybe there's one thing, I don't know. Whatever good you find in your earthly father, our Heavenly Father, according to this verse, is much more than that. He's infinitely much more than that. So why do I even bring this up? Because if you find that your father, your earthly father, is patient with you, your Heavenly Father is much more than that. So when you have the blessing of a good father, then you have insight and you have knowledge of what God's like. Is that working for you guys? If you find something good in your dad, my dad was like, for instance, always my baseball coach, always my football coach, from little league all the way up to where high school, they finally had to let me go. You know, that coach is there. But when I think of my dad, I always think of this man who was willing to spend time with me. He was present in my life. He was also always willing to teach me, whether it was to throw a football or hit a baseball or whatever. And that time created a confidence and intimacy. So if I had that joy, that grace in my life, then I have no excuse not to understand who my Heavenly Father is and how much more grateful I should be. Because I learn from my own earthly father who my Heavenly Father is, and nothing is going to be able to keep me from knowing who He is, the one in heaven. Now, so we see our Heavenly Father is much more. Doesn't that say that there in the verse? If your earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts, right, to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Yeah. It's interesting. We see here that a good father is always taking care of his children and always concerned about their welfare. Now, I'm going to say this, and I have to because I learned it the hard way. Like, someone approached me many years ago. This is not the first time I've taught this message. This idea of this message is the first time I preached this message that I'm giving you today, because I build on it. Every year, I learn things every year. I understand that not everyone here has had a positive relationship with their own fathers. And there may be someone, and I'm sorry, but I think the church needs to deal with the truth that may not even have had a father. As a teacher at a high school, I've made the mistake of saying, hey, take this home to your dad or your mom. And they say, I don't have a dad or a mom. Okay, so let's get that out in front, right? Let's deal with that. We deal with the truth. But let me tell you this. That's a painful reality, but I'm going to tell you this. There is probably some man that you have enjoyed a relationship with who is a father figure, right? It could be an uncle. It could be a grandfather. It could be a brother. It could be the guy you work with. It could be a pastor. It could be someone here at church. There is some man somewhere who you have learned from and who has been good to you. So that person has given you a snapshot of what our Heavenly Father is like. Does anyone here have a person like that in your life? It's not your father, but there's some other man in your life. Right here. I have one. An uncle, a grandfather, guy you work with, someone from the church. Somebody has been like a father to you. Anybody want to raise their hand and say, I know that person? We appreciate those people, don't we? Because then we do have that understanding. Could be a teacher, I would hope it was. Oh man, I got the sweetest letter from two students last week of school. I'm wondering if one of their teachers assigned it to them. And they had to look for a teacher to write something nice about. It don't matter. But I didn't expect it from one of them. And the other, I would think, well, that's something he would do. So these two students wrote me basically a thank you, saying, hey, we appreciate your support. We appreciate that you're always helping us and investing your time in us, kind of a thing. We're grateful. And that's just being a teacher. But let's just say, for instance, there might be one of those young men does not have a father at home. Then I just became a father figure to him, didn't I? So we have that blessing. God brings people, men, into our lives in many different scenarios, in many different places, where we say, okay, I didn't have that at home, but there's somebody who's like a dad to me, and he's good, and that gives me a view of who God is, right? So it's a good thing to honor our earthly fathers or our father figures. But I do want to say this too. Let us never forget that our earthly fathers are not perfect. Okay? We got to put everything on the right level. The Lord has given us the gift of discernment to be able to see things the way they are. Right? He's given us the gift to be able to reason, as I started saying this sermon. So, whatever good you find, whatever good character you find in your father or your father figure, whatever good spiritual thing you see in them, right? You see that they're guiding their children, they're diligent, they're caring, they're patient, they're loving, then that is a reflection. That gives us a picture of who God is. Amen? We never forget, in spite of our earthly fathers, that our first father is our Heavenly Father. Amen. There's a verse in Psalms 103, and it says this from verse 13 and 14. It's going to be up here on the screen, too. I think I shot it over. Yeah, here's another one that I think it gives us insight. Now, this is out of the Old Testament. So what I read to you before was Jesus' words in Matthew, the New Testament. And this is out of the Old Testament. So you see that these two things kind of go together. As a father, notice, he's comparing God, that is the psalmist, he's comparing God to the Lord. So now there's two verses at least, and there's way more. But at least I'm saying, hey, I have every right to say, if you find something good in your father here, God is much more. Okay? I have every right to say it, and that's my position today. And this verse also backs it up. So what I'm trying to show you is God's word is consistent in telling us and teaching us this truth. It says, as a father shows what? Compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The word fear here could be respect, easily replaced with the word respect him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. So first and foremost, this verse tells us that God knows, tells us that the Lord shows us compassion. I like that. How many of us could use compassion these days? It's sure better than the opposite, where people could completely ignore you and don't care about you and don't even know you exist. He shows us compassion. Right? That's the first thing. Like a father. In other words, he's not apathetic, he's not hostile toward us, he's merciful. Our Heavenly Father is merciful, just like our earthly fathers can be. So when we don't know something, he teaches us. When we're offended, he forgives us. When we're impatient, he endures, right? When we are sick, he comes to comfort and heal us. When we fall, he picks us up, right? When we have a need, he makes provision, right? And then that verse says, he knows our frame. Things is very important of us to know this, not only of our fathers, to be a good father, but also from our Heavenly Father, that he knows our frame. What does that mean? He knows what we're made of. A good father knows how to set goals or objectives with their children because they know the limits of their children. But they'll push them to that limit knowing what we're made of. Hey, be a little bit less, don't grind so hard. Grind a little bit with your kids. A little, you know. Push them over there, you know. Come here. Right? But then at the same time, let them live a little bit, because how do we learn from our mistakes? But be there to guide and correct them. This is what he's telling us. He knows our frame. And then the psalmist would go to even use the analogy that we're dust. In other words, a good father understands our condition. He understands that we have weaknesses. We have hang-ups, right? Bad habits, whatever they may be. Literally, he says, he knows that we're dust. Yet, in spite of the fact that he knows those things about us, our vulnerabilities and weaknesses, he's also tender. He doesn't abuse us in the areas of our weakness. You know, there are people that will take advantages of your weaknesses. They will use them. These are narcissist type of people. You know, one reason why it's hard for us to open up is because we're not too sure how they'll respond to us. So what we do is we put up a shield or build a wall, and we're safe behind that wall. But God knows what we're made of, and he'll never come in to destroy us in the intimacy that we have with him, the God, our Heavenly Father. But that gives us an idea also how we should be fathers, or you may already have that kind of a father or father figure. Amen? Tender, compassionate, in spite of the fact that they know where we're weak. They don't take advantage of us. They're not abusive. You have a father like that, thank the Lord. If you have a father figure, someone in your life who's demonstrated those things to you, thank the Lord, because now you know that our Heavenly Father is much, much more. Amen? I want to read a story about a biblical father, and then we'll finish. We'll put it up on the screen. I've always loved this story. It's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, from verse 21 to 24. I hope you can see it. Is it too small? Well, you can try. I'll read it to you. This is about Jairus. Jairus is the father, and he has a daughter. And I love the story. It's very simple, but you see everything that I just told you about in a good father. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, Jesus had gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Obviously, Jesus was very popular because everybody, he had grown famous because everybody had heard of what good works he was doing. Healings and things of that nature. He was going around healing the sick. So when Jesus had crossed again in the boat on the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. And in that great crowd, there was a father. I love this story. Then came out of the rulers of the synagogue. So this was a man let's put it this way. This was a prestigious man in the community. He was a leader. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Synagogue was obviously the place where the Jews met, like church. So he was a leader in the church. His name was Jairus. And seeing him, that is, Jairus seeing Jesus, he immediately fell to his feet at Jesus' feet. Okay, maybe I got a spot over here. He falls to his feet, this father, when he sees Jesus, and he falls to his feet. What would bring a man to his knees and to the feet of Christ? I mean, that's a very humble position. You're totally vulnerable and submitted and surrendered to someone else. You're at their mercy. What would drive a father? What would motivate a father to that place? I know something that would do that. I've experienced it myself. His daughter was very sick and to the point of death. Do you see the picture? Do you see who this father is? He loves her so much that he goes looking for help. And the amazing thing is he goes to the right man, Jesus, the great physician. You see, when the rubber hits the road, when it really matters, a good father would do what he has to do to find the help for the daughter he loves or the children he loves. There's no pride. There's no, what will people think of me? There's only, I love my daughter and I've heard this man can heal. And I'm going to put myself at his feet and at his mercy. And he says, he implored him. It's like literally like begging Jesus. No, I ain't going to beg nobody. If you love someone enough, you'll beg. You'll implore. You won't feel any pride whatsoever. You are humbled by the illness. You are humbled by the fact that you, and we don't know what he had done or how many doctors he had taken his daughter to and what things they may remedies they may have done at home and how long this illness went on for. It doesn't tell us any of that. All we see is that he says to Jesus, my little daughter, just a little girl, is at the point of death. And look what he says. The father says, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. He has complete faith in the power of Jesus to heal. That's motivated by a need. And what does this father do? He goes and asks. And he asks the right person because he had heard of his goodness. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be in a sermon. That's why it's so important to be at a Bible study. You learn about God, and then you can either act out in faith and trust Him, or you don't, and you're on your own. Hey, good luck to you. I hope it works out. Or you go to God and you say, hey, in this case, Jesus, the Son of God, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made whole or well and live and love. Verse 24. What does Jesus do? And he went with him. Did Jesus respond in kind and follow the father home? Yes. And the rest of the crowd followed him too. See what's going on. This is a reflection. This is the image of our Heavenly Father as revealed to us by God's Word. Anything else that you may have believed or thought is a flat-out lie. We serve a good Father in heaven. And if you have any good that you've lived and been blessed by your earthly Father, thank God for him, because then you understand more of who he is. And that opens the door to a relationship that gives you not just confidence to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, but it gives you intimacy, is which our heart so much desires. Hey, happy Father's Day to you fathers. May God richly bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your Word. Thank you for what you share with us. We pray that the Holy Spirit would perfect this message in our hearts, that you would speak to us individually, that you would change our hearts, change our perspective, change our attitude, so that we might, when we experience a good thing in the relationship with our earthly fathers, also understand, Lord, that you are much more. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. And happy Father's Day once again.